ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 316. With me tonight, let me introduce first my cohorts, my partners in crime. Next to me, Cristiano Oliveira.
What's going on, everybody?
And up north, up in the Great White North, the better looking. I never get tired of saying that. The better looking Oliveira, Dave the Oliveira.
I don't know if Cristiano approves or not. But,
no, my mom definitely does not approve. Every time she listens to the podcast each week, she looks down at Alfredo.
Your mom listens to the podcast?
Every week.
She's not a fan. But
She's my number one listener, my one and only.
Good.
But
at least you got one.
Good to be on tonight.
Awesome. On tonight's podcast, we'll try to keep it lively. I know it's been a rough week or a rough few days for Benfica fans, if you have been keeping up, and of course you have. But here's what we have on the menu. We will look back at the Dinamo Zagreb game in Croatia last Thursday that Benfica lost, first leg of the Europa League round of 16. We'll also look back at the Bulnes game, which happened this past Monday, yesterday as we record this. We'll look ahead to the second leg of the Dinamo Zagreb this Thursday at Stadio Luz, and we will look at this weekend's game at Moreira do Conde against Moreirense, and that game precedes the international break, a much-needed break, I think, for Laje and his troops, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's get into this Zagreb game. I'll give you the lineup, and we won't spend too much time on it, but I'll give you the lineup real quick. Vlaco Dimos in goal. Corsia, Dias, Ferro, Grimaldo across the back. Gabriel and Florentino in the middle. Jetson and Krovinovic on the sides of the midfield. I don't know if you could call them wingers, really. Seferovic and João Félix up front. Dave, I got to tell you, you usually send me an email with some stats and recaps and some comments of yours, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Benfica playing with no wingers, Krovinovic and Jetson, and I think that's one of the biggest problems perhaps of this game, along with a few others, is that both Jetson and Krovinovic are still trying to find some comfort in the system that Laje plays. Krovinovic is a guy that plays on the interior, he plays in the middle, and Jetson is also a guy that plays as a number eight. So being on the wings, I don't know if they knew too much what to do.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate circumstance for both of these guys. When I first saw the lineup introduced, I thought we would have played with a diamond shape in the midfield with Krovinovic up top, Gabriel Jetson controlling the middle, and Florentino, controlling more of the center defensive midfield. But instead, we had Krovinovic and Jetson playing the wings, which are naturally not their position. You could tell that they were really struggling out there. And Krovinovic is not the same type of player that he was pre-ACL tournament. This is only his first start since December.
Did you say ACL tournament?
ACL tournament, tear. But yeah, you can tell that he's not up to form yet, and he really doesn't have a spot, and the wing is not his position. So I would have liked to have seen him play as more of a center attacking midfielder. But yeah, no true wingers in this game, and I guess Bruno Lage's European big balls tour continues in Zagreb when he puts a midfield construction like that.
Yeah, Cristiano, what do you make of this Benfica performance of in Croatia? Do you think that Benfica perhaps undervalued Zagreb? Can you chalk it off as an uninspired performance, one of a kind? What do you make of this performance by Benfica in Croatia?
I think it was a combination of things. I think obviously all the things you just mentioned would definitely play a factor in this game. But to me, I think ultimately, man, it was one of those games. They were coming off a tremendous high, going to the Dragon, winning that game. I don't want to say they underestimated Zagreb, but obviously these players were confident. They think that they're top of the world. They just need to show up and they're going to win games. And it was just a huge letdown. I think the high that they were riding and going into that game was something that maybe Lodge could have managed a little bit better. But then again, he did make a bunch of changes. He had some guys, as Dave mentioned, playing out of position. He figured it was enough to at least get a draw on the road and you know, thinking about coming back home with the lose with a positive result in order to, you know, obviously advance come this Thursday. It was by far the worst game we've seen under this new coaching staff, Bruno Lage.
Yeah.
The team couldn't string five passes together. Krovinovic, I don't understand how the hell the guy lasted even 90 minutes. I thought he was atrocious. I know you're going to have to give him a pass because he has not been playing. He's out of rhythm, and I get all that. But to me, I thought Lage should have seen that, because if I could see it from my couch, I say this here all the time. If I could see it from my couch, I don't know how the hell you cannot see it from the sideline. I thought that, you know, in the 60th minute or whatever, get him out of the game. I thought every time he touched the ball, he took, you know, one too many touches. He took too long to get the ball moving. Sedevi came in, and yes, his defensive effort is never in doubt. You can never question his effort on the defensive side of the ball. But again, another guy that could not string a pass together. He was absolutely atrocious. It was one of those games that you just want to chalk up and forget about. I mean, we talked about these games, I did at least, a lot under the Rui Vitória guidance, and where I said, look, it's one of these games. We got the 1-0 result. Let's just move on. Let's forget about it. Like, there's nothing positive to talk about. And I feel that there was the same situation here going into Zagreb, a team that Benfica, on paper at least, should absolutely beat. And they just put in a subpar performance, and it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And then obviously culminating with what we saw a couple of days later. But we'll get into that in a couple minutes. But it was very disheartening to see the performance by this team, especially after having such a convincing victory over at the Dragon and getting a magnificent 3 points. I expected better.
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. I think that Benfica, albeit dominating the possession and really seemed in somewhat control of the game, you know, as far as the defensive effort, I think that we're probably at the end of the game. We could have probably given up another goal. We were fortunate to come out of there with just 1-0. And look, 1-0 deficit is completely manageable at Stadio de Luz. But the thing is that the way you played against this team in Zagreb, now you bring it to Stadio de Luz, and this is a team that only lost one game in the whole UEFA Europa League campaign so far. And in the group stages, they did not lose one game. They only lost to, and I forget who it was now. I want to say Genk, maybe. Pleasant.
Yeah, yeah,
they lost to Pleasant in the last
round. Pleasant wasn't so pleasant with them. Is that what you're saying?
Pleasant wasn't so pleasant. But yeah, they lost to Pleasant away. But other than that, this is a team that's solid, that's been solid this European League campaign.
Look, don't get me wrong. I expect Benfica on Thursday to win the game 3-4-0. I expect them to advance. I think Benfica has the caliber of team to obviously advance into the next round of the Europa League. But it doesn't take away the fact that they played a terrible game Zagreb. I think that's, to me, the worrisome part is that you see that performance and leading into the Valencia game. And again, I kind of give them, you know, kind of contradicting myself, but I give them a pass because obviously the high was, the intensity level was going to drop, especially coming from a game at the Dragon to a game in Europa League where you do have some leeway where, you know, if you drop if you lose the game 1-0, it's not the end of the world. Because you have the ability to come home and make up the scoreline at home and still advance. But it was the way that the team played, more so than a result, that upset me. They've really created nothing, with the exception of the one chance by Grimaldo in the 7th minute. They created nothing the rest of the game. There was absolutely none of that beautiful football that we've grown so accustomed to watching under Bruno Lage. There was none of that. It was, and again, it just knucklehead plays up and down the field. The penalty, the decision by Ruben Dias to go in, balls to the wall, in the box. I mean, you have to be smarter than that. And it's just, it's those comedy of errors that really get me upset about a performance like that. You lose a game where you play well, but sometimes you understand you're on the road. Other teams are going to have a favorable result on their favor. And it was none of that. It was none of that. The team looked like they were absolutely lost. I mean, if you didn't know that was Benfica, if you had no idea that was the team that went into the Dragão and played a very good game at the Dragão, came away with a very impressive 3 points, being down a man, was able to defend and hold the result, come away victorious, and then to see him a few days later against a team that's inferior to Futebol Clube do Porto, and then you see that performance, it was just a huge letdown.
Yeah, look,
we can't forget that Seferovic also went down injured too, so that also right. takes away one of your striking options up top, so that just leaves João Felix up there. And if Zagreb knows anything about João Felix, they're just going to man mark João Felix and take away our only other attacking striker option. Yep. Yeah, option, right? So though, like we've said, we controlled possession of the game 66-34, but really no shots on target, two on target, and no real chance creations, especially after Seferovic goes out injured in the 30th minute.
Yeah, but Dave, my thing is, even before Seferovic got hurt, they didn't create anything. You know what I mean? Like, even with him on the pitch, Benfica yeah. was not threatening. It didn't look like it was going to threaten at any point. And I understand, you know, to have that guy up top and hold off defenders. And, you know, say what you want about Seferovic. The guy is tremendous. He puts in his work every day and he pressures the ball. And, he forces teams to turn over the ball, which is, you know, helps the team defensively. But, again, they weren't creating anything. Seferovic, for the last couple of weeks, looked like he was already, you know, exhausted because he's been mm-hmm. playing crazy amount of minutes. Maybe this injury is the best thing for him. Maybe he gets to relax and he gets to rest and he gets to you know, at this point, you're never going to be 100%, but he's going to get as close to 100% as possible. So this might be a blessing, but it just, the whole game with him on the field, without him on the field, it wasn't pretty at all.
Yeah, I think that out of the game, losing Seferovic was probably the worst thing that could happen to yeah. us, because as we mentioned, 1-0 is 1-0 deficit is definitely.
Well, the 2-0, if they would have had that, but they would have put away that chance right at the very end. That would have been,
that's complicated.
But aside from that, I mean, obviously, like, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're 100% correct. The, mm-hmm. the worrisome part is this Seferovic injury, because the 1-0 deficit, I do think Benfica will be able to overturn that at the start yeah. of the loose. But the Seferovic injury, we're a little lucky as well, because there's two games. And as you mentioned before, you get the international break coming up after Sunday. We'll talk about yeah. that in a minute. But
yeah, fast forward to this past.
No, I don't want to fast forward. I asked you guys a question 5 minutes ago, and none of you have answered
the question.
What the hell was Ruben Dias thinking when he goes in, balls to the wall? I mean, come on, he's got to be smarter than that.
What's Ruben Dias been thinking for the past 3, 4, 5 weeks?
Maybe his model girlfriend, according to yeah. a record.
Model and singer.
I mean, to
singer.
Be fair, that is.
Model
that,
and singer.
That is.
She is pretty hot.
That is a pretty good distraction, though.
I can't believe that. Just well, saying. We'll get into that.
I mean, you can't be on the field, though, and thinking about that hot piece of, you know, it's just.
Maybe she was behind the net.
I don't think I've ever played a game and actually was like thinking about chicks. No, so, I don't know.
That's people will joke and they'll that type of stuff.
They flooded her Instagram account.
They sure did. They flooded their Instagram. But anyway, can we fast forward now?
So your answer is his girlfriend. What's your answer?
I don't know, dude. The thing that Ruben Dias that you have to understand is that even though he's been an undisputed starter this season, he's still 21 years old. And 21 years old for a center back, that's young. It takes a very special talent of a player to be that young and to be that dominating. I mean, we're talking about a select few in the world. De Ligt, for example. De Ligt. Those are special guys.
So in other words, you're saying Ruben Dias has one speed, and that's just brutal. There's no other speed. There's no in between. It's brutal 24/7.
Nah, look,
because that's what it looks like. And I love him. And you know, I came out here and I praised him because he convinced me. Same thing like Federer's. I never anticipated Federer would be as good as he is with his feet ever. I mean, if I would have had $10 in my bank account and you would have asked me if I would have, I would have lost it. But good thing I don't have $10 in my bank account. But Ruben Dias, physically, you could tell the guy belongs, but it seems like he's regressed rather than progressed with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, look, I think that sometimes he suffers from overconfidence too.
So running someone over is overconfident.
It could be look, I just thought that there was rushed. There's some decisions by him that are still very rushed, which shows signs of immaturity, I think. And look, it's expected. And even though he's been an undisputed starter all season this season for Benfica, you still got to remember that he's 21 years old. He's not a guy that has been trialed and has put experience under his belt, that knows how to approach situations, that knows how to control his emotions, to control his physicality. His physicality was something that we had problems with last season.
Yeah, but it was like a elbow here, a karate kid kick here. It wasn't these in the. I mean, you just again. I still think he's gonna have a tremendous career ahead of him.
So here,
but you have to be smarter. You have to pick and choose. And when you make that mistake, that's just amateurish, bro. But that's the type of thing that I expect on a Sunday league when I go play.
Yeah, but here's something else that I throw at you. Right, you got a very young center back pairing. And of which he is the veteran, yes. If you want to call it, right? So he's probably missing a bit of the calming presence in an older player, in a guy that settles him down, a guy in Jardel, a guy in Luizão when Luizão was playing. I don't know. I just it just sometimes he needs a little bit of guidance.
You tell him again. I could keep going back and forth because I think at 21 you should be smart enough to know you're in the box. You're going to run the guy over. You have to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
I don't care if Luizão is next to you, Jardel, your mama, your grandmama. You need to be smarter than that and have to kind of pull back the horses a little bit. Make your presence felt. But when you make a tackle, a reckless tackle like that, I mean, it wasn't reckless. I mean, you didn't exactly kill him, but he ran the guy over. When you make an entrada like that, you have to be smarter. You have to understand where you're at on the field. And that this could have, terrible effect, in which they did. Benfica lost the game 1-0, which that was a terrible penalty, by the way. That was right over Vlaco Dimas. But, yeah, Ruben, still love you. You're my man. But come on. Who's that cabecinha, senior, pop?
Can we fast forward or not? You ready to go?
Who's that cabeça?
All right. So fast forward to this Monday with Benfica after – getting that Croatia trip behind their back and people thinking, all right, well, this is done and over. We can't possibly have a couple of bad games, said Ruben Dias. And then we play Belenenses, such that they lose this past Monday. I'll give you the lineup. Vlaco Dimas was in goal. Almeida was back at right back. Dias and Ferro, the center back pairing. Grimaldo at left back. Florentino filling in for Gabriel, who had been suspended after picking up that red card at the Dragão. Samaris was next to him. Pizzi and Rafa on the sides of the midfield. João Félix and Jonas. Jonas coming in for the Seferovic, who was injured. As we mentioned, we don't know what kind of timing is as far as his injury. I heard that he's maybe able to go against Mureirense, but I think that might be too soon. But we shall see.
I would hold him out, going back to what I was trying to say before, but I didn't want to jump the gun like I always do. But I would absolutely hold him out because you do have a two-week break in between because of international
don't
break.
Rush.
So why not make sure this guy is 100%? Because you see Benfica is a totally different team when he's on the pitch, pressing and causing all the havoc that he is. I think that if I'm Benfica, I might not play Jonas on Thursday against Zagreb for the second leg.
You might?
Might not play. Yeah, because Jonas is not going to be able to play three games in a week.
Yeah.
Monday, Thursday, Sunday. I just think it might be a little bit too much because at the end of the day, I want to keep my other striker healthy as well. I don't want to have two guys now, in the chicken coop resting injuries. So I might not play Jonas. I might actually give
we'll talk about that when we do the Mourinho's preview.
Thursday. Oh, preview. But stop it. We're talking about Svetovic. And so I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah. So a game where Belenenses has been having a really good season this season. They already had beaten Benfica, actually tied Benfica 2-2. Was it 2-2 in the first round?
2-0.
2-0. We lost 2-0. Benfica beats Porto 1-0. In the very next game, they lose 2-0.
I would like to permanently delete all those memories with Rui Vitória of this season.
Of this season.
Out of my head.
So the 1-0 victory at the Ladrão, you want to erase that?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not at the Lodero. That was at the Luz. At the Lodero.
Can we get one of those Men in Black flashes to just wipe that?
Watch out about the light, though, because remember.
Yeah, the light.
The light caused this whole problem in the first place. So
we can't trust the light. You're right.
Stay away from the light.
You're right. So Bulnes game in a first half that really, I was a little bit frustrated in the first half, right? Because Benfica was just going through the motions. There was no pace. And then you got Rafa wasting opportunities, man. And when you waste opportunities like that, you kind of open yourself to suffer goals. And even though Bulnes wasn't really doing much, most of that they were doing was defending with two defined lines of five and four behind the ball. Most of the time, they were just compact defending. Benfica didn't really have answers to break down that defense. They needed to get some more pace up front. They needed to be sharper with their passes in the final third. And Benfica just really couldn't do that and really couldn't break through. So I was a little bit frustrated with that first half.
I thought, I don't know, you guys let me know what you think. I thought a lot of that had to do with Bulnes. I thought Bulnes did a good job defending. They were able to... When they did have the ball, they were able to touch it. I know it was meaningless possession because they weren't really even going past midfield with the exception of a couple of chances they had early on, which was really nothing that dangerous for Vlaco Dimas. And we'll get to Vlaco Dimas. Trust me, we'll get to Vlaco. But I thought that they did a good job of having Benfica chase them down and chase the ball around. And I Benfica was never able to get into a rhythm because, as I mentioned, they touched the ball around and all in their half. But it just made Benfica play a little bit of monkey in the middle for certain periods of the game there in the first half. And sometimes you have to tip your cap and you have to give the opposition credit. Normally we're accustomed to seeing teams come at the side of the lose and it's defensive lines, as you mentioned, 4, 5, 6, 7. And sometimes they just all line up in front of the box and then every chance they get an opportunity to get the ball, they put the bombo pa frente a Rui Vitória style. And they did not do that. They actually tried to come out the back and play. They would play. Their defensive line was actually very deep. Nuno Coelho was the last man because he was able to open up space and get the ball and just touch it side to side and rotate the ball and rotate. And Benfica just did a lot of chasing, which I think that caused Benfica not to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, could be. No, I completely understand because usually Benfica gets in their rhythm and then they counter press, they get the ball back and they go back on the offensive. And the fact that Bulnes had those pockets of possession that frustrated Benfica is enough to break up the rhythm.
I thought as far as Silas and Bulnes' game plan in the first half, I thought it worked to perfection. I thought they were excellent. And again, I hate to see it be, you know, against my team, but again, they played well. And kudos to them. Second half was a little bit different. Benfica was able to come out with apply a little bit more pressure. And obviously, Jonas, that's what makes Jonas so spectacular. The guy gets one chance, it's in the back of the net. He's special. The guy Velhinho. And he was able to give Benfica a little bit of breathing room, but it changed a little bit due to the pressure that Benfica came in the second half.
Yeah, so the second half, a lot better by Benfica, some more sense of urgency, if you will, in their play in the second half. And as Cristiano mentioned, Jonas got us on a board when we really were frustrated, at least as watching the game. I was frustrated that Benfica really couldn't get past this Bulnes game. But in the 56 minutes, Jonas won nothing. And then 7 minutes later, Samaris putting us up 2-0. And Cristiano, at this point, 2-0, I felt, well, Bulnes, all they're doing is defending. Bulnes is going to have to come out. Benfica will then get back to their game and put a couple more in. But really, 2-0 wasn't really that safe. That's safe to say. And then we have in the 68th minute, which was 5 minutes after we scored the second goal, we got something. I out of all my years watching football, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that from a goalie. Just opening up their arms, golpe vista, controlling the ball, and the ball finding itself.
See,
in the back
I thought the 2-0 lead was a safe lead. I thought at that point Benfica was going to put the game away. I thought the game was over. And then obviously Vlaco Dimas, and here we go to the Vlaco Dimas part. He gives them an absolute gift. I don't understand what he was thinking. I understand. Look, these guys are human. They're going to make mistakes. But I think when you're playing at this level, when you're a team like Benfica, you're playing on the Greek national team. You have, obviously, your schooling came up, you know, in Germany. You have to know your position. You have to know your angles. How in the world he was not aware of where he was in his box, right? And to me, as I've stated to multiple people, I've been irritated. This has absolutely messed up my week, not just yesterday, but it's messed up my week. Because to me, makes absolutely no sense as to why he doesn't grab that ball. That ball is face high. And the time that he took to bring his arms out, to bring his arms way behind his back, like, oh, I'm letting it go. He could have just grabbed it. We're not a small club wasting time letting the ball go out of bounds. Grab the freaking ball. This play the safe bet. I don't understand what the hell he was thinking. It was a cross into the box. Everybody assumed Vlatko Dimic was going to get it or it was going to go. Obviously, Vlatko Dimic assumed it was going out. And that was an absolute gift to Bulins. And I tell you, when that went in, I just had this feeling in my gut. It was an uneasy feeling. And I did not foresee Bulins tying this game. But at that moment, I felt like, okay, this is going to give Bulins some life. This is going to allow them to believe that possibly, you know, if they get a good counter, that they could still get on the board here and get a point at the start of the lose. And if anything, it leaves the game open at that moment. I thought that was an absolute gift from Vlatko Dimic, only to then a few minutes later, Benfica was in a generous mood this weekend to just get an even, like, I don't want to say a better gift, but it was just as good a gift from Ruben Dias, the aforementioned Ruben Dias, who must have been thinking about his girlfriend. Passes the ball. I mean, I thought it was, look, basically it was a through ball. It wasn't even a through ball. It was a ball just kicked up by Bulnes. Ruben Dias is all over it. He's got a guy behind him who's chasing him down. And he could just boot it out of bounds or tap it out of bounds, which would have been the easier play. He tries to touch it back with the outside of his foot, with the tres dedos, into Vlatko Dimic. Does not weigh the pass correctly. Practically puts Kikas on a breakaway. He just tucks it around. I mean, it was an absolute amateur miss. Both goals. It was amateur hour. I think that will be on the Benfica bloopers for the rest of our lifetime on the blooper reel.
I don't know which one is worse.
The Vlatko Dimic.
The pass by Ruben Dias or the fact that we got scored on by a guy named Kikas.
Hey, look, that was a hell of a finish from him.
No, it sure was.
He
really was.
He could have taken it deeper, and he chose to shoot it from outside the box. I mean, granted, Vlatko Dimic hugged the near post and gave him the all. I mean, look, and he still had to get it there, and he did. But it was just atrocious from Benfica. When you come in to a game like that, you know you lose in Zagreb, all right, after, as I mentioned before, such a high-intensity game. Then you lose, and it kind of like, in a way, I was looking at the Campeonato, I was looking at Benfica standing, and I was like, you know what, maybe this wasn't such a bad thing to lose at Zagreb, because now it's going to wake the team up and they know that they can't lose this next game against Bulnes like they did in the first half. They go and beat Porto at home, then they go on the road to Jamor and they lose. So maybe that was the game in between, because as I mentioned, I keep mentioning over and over and over, when you go into a game like Porto, the intensity, everything is just is multiple a thousand. And so you knew that they were going to come down a little bit. And I said, okay, maybe, you know, this loss is going to wake these guys up against Bulnes. The first half did not reflect that. But then the second half, 2-0, and then it was just, I mean, those are mistakes that if you see a high school here in New Jersey do it, you just
let's hear what Dave has to say about this.
Oh, yeah, Canada. They're definitely doing that in Canada.
Well, yeah, we just had barely got the snow off the grass, but it was just put me in such a sour mood yesterday after seeing how we lost that game, and it felt like a loss because we drew, we ended up saving a point out of it, but we had 3 points in the bag and we gifted them 2 goals that cost us 2 points. And it is concerning because this same thing happened in the first half of the season where we beat Porto 1-0 at home and we are on such a high. And then we followed that up with 3 straight losses. Now, mind you, we haven't lost 3 here, 1 loss in Croatia and 1 draw at home, but it's very disappointing. But overall, I think those are 2 just individual mistakes. I don't think that's a reflection on how poorly the team played yesterday. So we got to keep that in mind, because trust me, I'm frustrated as anyone here is, but we got to keep in mind that this was 2 individual mistakes. It was not a reflection on how poorly the team played, because the team had control of the game, and when they went up 2-0. If it wasn't for those two mistakes, they probably were going to score another one or at least control the rest of that game. But yeah, two individual mistakes and it cost us 2 points.
I mean, yo, this could be the difference in clinching the winning the title. I should say not clinching it, winning the title, losing the title. You're talking about Benfica dropped 5 points of a possible 6 to Belenenses. Think about it, they win both of those games or just win that one. You're 2 points back up on Porto. That's a 5-point. They could have had a 5-point lead over Futebol Clube Porto at this point, which pretty much in the Portuguese league at this point, with 9 games to go, Benfica's got to go to Braga. And I know this weekend's game coming up and against Moreirense is not a walk in the park, but Benfica should win all these games. It would have been a wrap. 5 points to go with 9 games to go. I know you still have to play the games. I get it. But in the Portuguese league, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I just think this was a huge opportunity missed.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I hope that at the end of the season, we're not looking back at this result in this game as the one game that made us come up short. So look, you had the 2-point advantage over Porto, which was a nice cushion, which would have allowed you to
a tie later
go,
on.
Go to Moreirense and tie it up. Uh-huh. Go to the Pedreira and tie it up and still have that cushion. Now you have no cushion. Same points, but add on the head-to-head.
I will say this because I wanted to mention this and I did not. I'm not trying to sound like sour apples here, guys. Okay? Benfica had this game in the bag. Benfica has no one to blame but themselves.
No.
For losing the 3 points and only coming away with one.
Absolutely not.
But, if a Benfica wants to cry to me about two, possibly three penalties that could have been called our way. Can't guess when Sporting, you breathe on a guy and it's a penalty. I'm just saying, look, if it was the other way
that's
around.
That's such a bigger issue. That's not even like a Benfica fine. Issue. That's just, a
it,
bigger
it
issue.
It could have easily been 5-0. With 2-3 penalties, João Felix is in the six. I don't know what the hell he's trying to do in trapping the ball rather than just one-timing it on goal. I think it was harder to trap than it was to one-time it on goal. Benfica did have opportunities. Rafa, it wasn't the greatest of first halves, but Benfica could have had a much bigger result here. But it's really disappointing to have the 3 points in the bag at home and giving up the game and giving up the lead in the manner that they did with juvenile mistakes. Yep. That was hard to accept.
Benfica has nothing, has no one to blame but themselves for this loss. And look, my take is on Vlaco Dimas. Yeah, it's a huge pitu, but let's not forget that he's kept us in a lot of games. So, you know, those things will happen from time to time. Let's not hope that it happens with the frequency that Roberto used to have. You know, it's a lesson learned for a young goalkeeper. He's only 24 years old. That's very young for a goalkeeper. And you learn. You never give up on a ball and control it with your eyes. You always chase it. I mean, I've seen Varela dive 3 feet past the post just to cover a ball.
If that was Varela, we would have crucified him.
Yeah, right? You know, Dave, I've been sitting here, I've been holding my tongue because I'm like, I was going to ask him how many, you know, positive drinks did he have? You know, because he's missed the positivity today. He came in full of positivity
today.
No,
look.
To me, it's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
That you're a Benfica goalkeeper and you give up a goal like that. That's childish. If Varela did that, you'd be calling for his head.
I get it.
If Svilar did that, you'd be calling, you'd be talking about playing him on a B team.
I get it.
So now don't tell me it's okay. He's 24. You're not 24. Rubén is 21. You're playing at Benfica. You have a responsibility to be perfect on every single play. I don't care. That's what I expect of you.
I get it. But mistakes.
Errors
human.
Not mistakes like that.
No, I understand.
That was an amateur. Again,
the severity of the mistake.
Dave said it, and I've been biting my tongue. If Varela did that. Varela's pitu against Boavista was nowhere near that. Until this day, you have not let go of that. And majority of Benfiquistas I know
cost us a championship. Not,
well, how do you know this doesn't cost us a championship?
I don't.
But this was.
I hope not.
This made that Varela pitu look like, okay, that's a mistake. It happens. This was worse.
Look, I realized that, and I agree with you.
This is poo-poo. It's 24. But no.
No, I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm saying that, look, keepers are going to make mistakes every now and again. It's unacceptable at the level that he's playing and for the team that he's playing. I get that. But mistakes are going to happen. You can't crucify a guy. You can't put a guy on the B team just because he made a mistake.
That. I'm not saying to do that.
I get the severity of the mistake, and I understand that the mistake was costly to us. But I think that overall, I thought that Benfica should have done better in this game to win the game. So yeah, the two individual mistakes did cost us the 2 points. But I think that that overall, Benfica should have done more.
Okay.
Especially in the first half to win this game.
And I'm not saying to bench the guy. I'm not calling for his head. But just to say, you know, he's young. It's, to me, young is nothing but a, but you know, age is nothing but a number.
Yeah.
No, but you're not calling to bench Vlachodimos, but how about Ruben Dias with Jardel now supposedly coming up healthy? Do we give Ruben Dias? Do we make him accountable? Well,
Ruben might need. Look, it might do Ruben good to sit a game. So to sit, I'm not saying to do it, but it might do him good to sit a game.
I'm not saying to bench him for the rest of the season either, but a game or two make him
breather. Yeah. The guy's played a lot of minutes. It's Vlachodimos, who's played every single minute, and then it's Andre Almeida and Ruben are the two guys that have featured the most, and so it wouldn't hurt him. It wouldn't harm the guy. To sit on the sidelines and watch a game, especially if you have
and that's the thing,
a guy that's fit Jardel, you have an informed.
What if you don't?
Well, he said if you do, that was his question.
If you have a backup,
if you have Jardel is 100%. That's what he was asking.
I don't know if he's 100%.
Dave's not saying take him out of there and put Alfredo Fumas as a center back. He's saying if Jardel was 100% ready to go, would it be good to sit? Ruben Dias for a game or two. And I think
I agree.
One game, yes. If you have a fit Jardel.
Yeah. If you have a fit.
I don't want to see Samaris and Ferro there and you have a fit Dias in the stands.
Yeah, but quite a few. You put up some numbers here against Bulnes, Dave. Let's start with the seven Portuguese starting 11.
So the first time since 2007 that Benfica started seven Portuguese in the starting 11 with Almeida, Ruben Dias, Ferro, Florentino, Pizzi, Rafa, and João Felix. And we've talked about the wasted opportunities. We had 23 shots on target, but only 23 shots in total. Only two were on target, 16 off target, and 5 were blocked. As we said, very well organized defense back there. So no real chances for us there.
Here's a question for both of you guys.
More questions?
I love, you know me. I keep going. Did Benfica miss Sferovic or Gabriel more in this game? Obviously, one's out for suspension. Yeah, no other choice. The other one's injured. But who did Benfica miss more in this game?
Gabriel.
David. I was gonna bring this up. I was not impressed with Jonas and João Felix up top. I feel like they are the similar type of attacker. And they occupied the same space. Whenever I would see them up front, they were very similar, if not on top of each other. So I know we've been clamoring on this podcast for Jonas getting his minutes back, but I was not impressed with the way they played up top there.
I'm going to tell you why I think Gabriel was a bigger miss than Seferovic, because you have a midfield pairing in Florentino and Samaris, right? So Florentino is a guy, is Mr. Cleanup. He cleans up, recuperates the ball, makes a tackle, and gives the ball up for play to start, right? So he's not a playmaker. Samadi's not a playmaker either. He's also a guy that destroys. So I think that when you have Gabriel in there, you have a guy with the passing range. You have the guy that could break up play, that can make the passes. Right. So
between the lines, absolutely.
He's not the Jenga guy, the classic 10 playmaker, but he's a guy that could pick out a pass, that can make cross field passes when Benfica needs to come out of a pressure situation.
And with a single pass, he alleviates all types of pressures. Yeah. The guy could connect both lines. He's spectacular. I think Gabriel is a player that's growing with each minute that he plays at Benfica. And for those of you that are not very happy or aren't fans of him possibly featuring for the Portuguese national team, he keeps playing this way.
No, I
can't give my opinion.
You can, yeah.
Okay. He keeps playing this way. Your wishes might turn into a reality sooner rather than later. But yeah, Gabriel's phenomenal. I think Sferovic is phenomenal. I just don't think Sferovic has a quarter of the ability of a Jonas in front of net. I think Jonas and Felix, as you said, Dave, they do occupy a lot of the same spaces, but I'm a firm believer. I'm old school, man. To me, you can never have enough good players, and good players will always figure it out how to play side by side. And, you know, I just think that this was one of those games that you have to tip your cap to the opposition. I thought Belen's did a, they were very compact. They did a good job on the defensive side of the ball. And so, look, you can't just go based off of one game and tell me, you know, Jonas and Felix, it's not going to work. At the end of the day, Jonas did score. He got on the score sheet, right? I mean, so yeah. It did work to some extent. And it would have worked hadn't we seen those two disasters, those childish mistakes.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Just to bring it back about the Gabriel and Samaris and Florentino not being the same type of player. But if anything, then that's on Bruno Lage, because Jetson is more of a creative player in that same position then. So if we wanted to have Samaris back there as the destroyer and have Jetson play more of the creative and push forward, then that would have given us some more creativity rather than having two so-called destroyers occupying the center midfield there.
I'm with you, but I think Jetson did not have it. I love Jetson. That's my man, Jetson. He did not have a very good game in Zagreb, and I think a lot of that had to do with the reasoning why he didn't play this week. I think you came in with two guys. You were able to let Rafa roam around more freely, Pizzi roam around, because you had the Samaris of the worlds and you had the Florentinos who were going to clamp down the middle. I think he gave, you know, you knew you're not going to apply the pressure, and defensively you're not going to be as good as you are with a Sferovic when you have a Jonas in there. So I think a lot of that came into the decision-making. I think that they just wanted to make sure they were able to contain Abelness on a counterattack, which they did for the most part. I think he got that right. But, I mean, at the same time, I can't say you're wrong when you know, to question Lage whether putting in a player was more who has characteristics of going forward a lot more and could build play, a lot better than both of those guys. I think it's also, you know, a fair question to be made.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's done. So as Cristiano mentioned, 5 points dropped to Belenenses this season, which is a lot. It was like the Stubble a couple of seasons back. You remember that, Cristiano? But yeah, so that's done and dusted, and the Belenenses players celebrated in the locker room like they had just won something. Maybe it was a Melita. But anyway,
they're just celebrating the new logo.
Nah, you guys, you have to the new logo. Yeah, which yeah, whatever. But listen, I was gonna get it, but you look. Their head coach is a Porto guy who played at Porto. He obviously played at Belenenses a lot of years, but Silas also has his Porto connections, his links to Porto. And, oh, bro, you know what it is. If you're not Benfiquista, you're an anti. And maybe that's bred inside the locker room. And anytime you beat a Benfica, at the start of the lose, or it wasn't a defeat, this was a draw. But again, to go the two games in the Campeonato, not to lose to a Benfica, get a tie, and you get a win. It's reason to celebrate, guys.
Look, it's I think
it's reason to celebrate
that for the turmoil that the club has had this season. I'm talking about Belenenses with the dispute with the SAD and the club, with basically losing Blaine as their home grounds and having to hop around.
I don't feel sorry for them, because that was a self-inflicted wound.
But. Look, they've been through a lot this season, so I think that perhaps victories like this, if you can call it a victory, is a victory for them. I think that it are things that they celebrate, because they've been against the odds to find some consistency and some security and a home, really. So. But that's neither here nor there. So let's turn our attention now to the second leg of the Europa League game against Zagreb. Cristiano, I guess we could start with you. Would you make any changes on Thursday, considering you got a very, very tough game in Moreira Conings on Sunday?
Yes, I might hold Jonas out. Obviously you guys know how I feel about Jonas.
Didn't you say that before?
Yes, but I would hold him out, because I don't think he could play three games in a week, at least not yet. And this is where shipping off two strikers and Castillo and Ferreira and Castillo. I mean, right now, I mean, you don't have many alternatives.
Hey, you got, according to Lage, you got Jota, you got Rafa.
Again, in a game that Benfica needs to win, again, depends how seriously you're taking this competition. The game that Benfica needs to win, you're going to go in there with two 19-year-old strikers. It's not the best advice. I mean, it could possibly work, but it's not the ideal situation. You like to get some guys with you know, some veterans who have played in this competition, who know what it takes to overturn a 1-0 deficit.
Zé Gomes, you got Zé Gomes in the B-team.
Ay, Jesus. Zé Gomes is behind Spajonic, Saponjic. So, yeah, Saponjic, whatever. He's behind them. So we'll see what happens. I wish Benfica would have had other alternatives, but right now I just don't see where you're going to play Jonas Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. You save him for Moreira de Cónigos.
Yeah, you save him for Moreira de Cónigos, but at the same time, you want to win this game. So
yeah. Look, I think that Jota can play on the left-hand side. I think that Rafa could slot behind João Félix. João Félix play as a lone forward in the B-team.
B-team. Different.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's territories that he's used to. He's going to be a lot more mobile. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be stuck between the two center backs. But, having Rafa, I'm just concerned about Rafa, man, because he puts himself in a lot of good chances and he ends up wasting.
Look, he's getting better.
He's getting better.
At this point, last year, we were saying a guy can score.
He was
0-10.
Now he's 1-10. He's getting better. But anyway, I Dave, what are your thoughts on this Zagreb? Do you think that we could turn this around? We could definitely turn this around, right? We have the ability. But are you concerned that the rotation might hinder us?
Yeah, it's the way that Bruno Lage has been treating this tournament, right? He's been using it as a tournament to rest and get some new players in there. So we're going to see how serious Benfica is about going forward in this tournament and what players Bruno Lage decides to start on Thursday. Just a question for both of you. When do we start becoming concerned about rest for João Félix too, because he's played as many matches as Seferovic up top there too, and if not more. So when do we start being concerned for
you
him?
You don't have that luxury at the moment. With the injury to Seferovic, you're already struggling to find the second guy to play up top with the, if you're going to play in a 4-2, in a 4-4-2, that is, you're going to struggle to find the second guy to play alongside João Félix right now. You might have to go with as we mentioned before, another 19-year-old in Jota. It's just, I mean, because I honestly don't think Jonas is going to play.
I don't.
And if
think
he does,
so.
He doesn't play Sunday. The only way Jonas plays Thursday, guys, is if they will indeed play Seferovic on Sunday. That's the only way Jonas plays.
If they're sure that they're going to play Seferovic on Sunday,
that will tell you a lot. If Jonas plays on Thursday, I think that tells you that Seferovic will be available for Sunday.
Yeah. Now it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky, and I think that João Félix is issue is a different issue, not so much tiring. Yes, you're seeing a guy now in the 75th minute, 80th minute that he's absolutely spent every game now we've seen. But I think that this problem is another one, and we'll address that. Cristiano and I will address that on our new video show on YouTube, Time Added On for Benfica Independent. So make sure that you guys are catching that. This will be recording our third episode this week, so make sure you catch that. It's a shameless plug there for ourselves there, Cristiano.
Good job, Alfredo.
So I think that you have to approach this game with seriousness. I think that Benfica, even a rotated Benfica, but not too rotated, is capable of beating this Zagreb team. They're going to be without two of their important players, Ljovac and Sunjic, who picked up yellow cards in the first leg and will not play at Stade Luz. Two important losses for Zagreb. But look, Zagreb is coming to Stade Luz. They're a team that that likes to defend well and attack on a counter. So we'll just have to see. But they're coming to defend their result for sure. But I think that if they're smart, they're watching the Bulnins video or film, and they're replicating some of what Bulnins did against Benfica this past Monday. And also it's an opportunity for Benfica to correct. If Zagreb will play like Bulnins, it's an opportunity for Benfica to correct what they did wrong against Bulnins as far as how they went about breaking down the Bulnins defense, and to really correct those mistakes and to make themselves better and not give up penalties and childish goals, if you will. So this Thursday, I don't have the time in front of me. So this Thursday will be
4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. 4 p.m. Eastern. 4 p.m. Eastern. Obviously, the time has changed here in the North American continent. Not in Portugal yet, so we're 4 hours apart. But So Thursday.
No, we're 6 hours apart.
Four hours. Non digas baboseiras.
Oh, we went up instead of backwards.
Spring forward, yes. Fall back.
Tá, gente, calma, pá. We went up instead of backwards.
Está aí... 6 horas. Já ia 6 horas. Foda-se.
Pois, papai, de 5, quando a gente vai para trás, vão de 5 para 6.
Vai para trás.
Então a gente vai para trás.
Vai para a frente.
I made a mistake. I have my calculations wrong.
You made a mistake. Vais para o B-team. Foda-se.
Oh, you don't mention the other guys, but me, low para o B-team. Já estou a ver. Which podcast you sending me
so,
to?
So anyway, Moreirense is up this weekend, Sunday, and I'm surprised that... I guess it has to do with the international break that Benfica didn't push this game until Monday. Up until this point, they had been playing on Mondays whenever they played on Thursdays. But the game will take place Sunday, 5:30 local at in Moreira de Cónegos. Dave, what's Moreirense up to this season?
There have been the Cinderella story of the league so far. They're currently in fifth with 42 points, 13 wins, 3 draws, and 9 losses. Kind of an even goal score, so 31-4 and 30 against, so just plus 1 on the goal, plus minus. But yeah, they've been a strong team this year, and they've already beaten us 3-1 at the Stade de Luge, and that's a game that Jonas takes us and scores right at the beginning, and another game where we think that we can control the pace, and they go and put another 3 behind us before the first half is over. So this team has been scary, and we can't take them lightly because they've already taken points away from Porto. Though this past weekend they lost to Marítimo 3-2, so yeah. Not to be taken lightly, though, Moreirense.
Yeah, definitely Moreirense has been having a great season so far. Heriberto, and who is on Benfica loan, and Chiquinho.
He will not play.
Who Heriberto won't play. But Chiquinho, who was transferred on a permanent to Moreirense.
It's an option to buy.
He's been a sensational player. But the thing that impresses me the most about Moreirense is that they've only allowed 9 goals at home. That is the third best defense at home in the Liga NOS championship. So Benfica will no doubt will have a lot of issues up there in Moreira de Cónegos, especially because of what we've seen from Moreirense so far. Cristiano, what are you expecting? Another tough game? Here's the thing. Does Benfica wash face against Zagreb and hope to build up on a momentum to Moreira de Cónegos?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. But again, a lot of it has to do with, which we don't know right now, has to do with what lineup Benfica will feature on Thursday, has to do with who's healthy on Sunday. But yeah, Benfica has an opportunity here to turn another result, a negative result from the first half at the Estádio da Luz, very similar to what we just talked about with the whole Bolonês scenario here, losing 3-1 on the at home at the time. Except Bolonês won at their home. You get my drift. At the Jamor, yes. So Benfica has to not just go over there and play a good game and obviously start playing large ball once again, but they need to come out of there with a positive result, come out of there with the 3 points, because as we mentioned before, dropping the 2-point lead off the walk with Porto gives you no leeway right now to go ahead and drop points on the road. And this is why this past game at home against Bolonês, who you think you're going to win at home, you were able to drop points like that. It's very devastating. So now I think the pressure will be squarely on Benfica. They have no room for error. But again, let's just see how Benfica make it through on Sunday before we even, I mean, on Thursday, before we even start talking about Sunday, because we don't know who's going to be available at the time or not.
Yeah, one game at a time, as Mr. Lodge likes to say. But nonetheless, two tough fixtures for Benfica, especially after coming off the week that we have just come from. So we'll just have to see. We will then break for international break, and Benfica's next game will be against Tondela at home on the 31st of March. Last day of March, Benfica will host Tondela at home.
At Tondela, danças com Tondela. I still can't tell that joke, but the regular listeners will know what I'm talking about.
Let's hope that Tondela will dance to our rhythm and not us or Tondela.
Or Tondelos.
Or Tondelos.
Pois.
Exactly. So that's all we got. Dave, any parting words?
No, we got to stick together. You know, I know we're all disappointed about yesterday's results, but now is not the time to be pointing blame on one another and going after players' girlfriends on Instagram. Let's be stronger than that and smarter than that.
Somebody just sent me a picture of Ivy April, whatever her name is.
She's hot.
She's a portista? She had a Porto shirt on with her name in the back of it. She's all smiling. I mean, I have the evidence.
She's hot. She's a singer and an actress.
I have the evidence right here. April Ivy.
Yeah, pode ser, pode.
Ei, não, meu. improve in the years.
She canta very good.
Epa.
Percebeste o que ele disse?
Guys, show. I don't understand him in Portuguese. Não tem vergonha.
Não tem vergonha. Não tem vergonha. That's what you said, right?
In Italian.
There's no shame, right?
Que cazzo.
No.
That's what it is, Dave?
What?
What does it mean what you said? Não tem vergonha?
No. She canta very good.
She canta very good. I don't know.
I thought he was speaking.
Oh, she canta very good. I thought he was speaking Italian. That's Portuguese. That's I said, I don't understand him after time. English.
She canta very good.
Yeah,
she canta very good.
I thought you said não tem vergonha Portuguese, or she has no shame.
Here I am thinking you speak Italian, Alfredo. You just
I thought that spoke Italian too.
You should have just rolled with it.
I'm gonna ask for my money back on that Rosetta Stone for sure. Anyway, that's all we got. So next week we'll be back. We'll be.
I'm gonna give a shout out to my man Bruno Barros, who's in the building today, watching us here live.
Yeah, Bruno's here.
We'll get him involved one of these weeks. He'll come on with us and give us his thoughts on Benfica. Today he's still in preseason form. We got to get him up to main squad, so he'll be up. We'll promote him at some point throughout the
season. Watch out, though; he might take your spot. You know these mistakes.
That's fine. Hey, Dave. A lot of men have tried, and a lot of men have failed. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
No, yeah. So, So great to have Bruno here watching us as we do our thing. So anyway, next week we'll be back. We'll break down the Zagreb game. We'll also break down the Moreirense game. And we'll probably talk about some stuff. It'll be international break, but probably not much. We're not going to preview the Tondela. But anyway, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about Ronaldo's performance today, the hat-trick.
Jesus.
Yeah, we'll talk about
Tinha
that.
Esquira aí.
Cristiano, I should say, Cristiano.
All right. Everybody.
Peace. Arrivederci.
Stay positive. Stay strong. And Forza Benfica.
Forza Benfica, pa.
Later.